Good morning, everyone. It is good to see everyone. It is nice that it's 73 degrees outside. Little reprieve. It's Bible school week for our kids, and as we have Bible school at Village Oaks this week, but that's also for our children too, so it's always exciting that we get to, just as Benny was praying, we get to reach out to those that are lost, and we pray that the lost will come to know Christ, whether that's children in our church or children in that community or parents. So we're just planting those seeds, so hope that you will be a part of that this week. But we are excited to be in God's Word this morning. So open your Bibles to James chapter 1. We continue in our series in the book of James as he shows us through the Holy Spirit as he wrote this letter to those that were being persecuted and those that were struggling as Christians, to remind them of God's goodness, remind them of what it looks like to live out their faith in a lost world, in a dark world, to shine the light of the gospel. And so we continue in the book of James. We're in James chapter 1, and this morning we're going to be in verses 22 through 25. Pretty famous passage. I would say it's one of my favorites, but it's not one of my favorites in the sense that it convicts me every time I read it. Okay, so I love what James says here, but every time I dive into this section of what it means to be a doer of the word, it is very convicting. So at least I know that there will be one person challenged and convicted today, and that will be me. And even though I've already written the sermon and studied it, I've already been back there praying, going, Lord, this is a tough passage. Tough in the sense of it's so challenging. It's what it should look like for us to be living out our faith. Last week, if you were here, we saw from God's Word how important it is to be listeners of the Word. So last week it was like, here's what it means to be in God's Word, hearing God's Word, listening to it, meditating on it, letting it be implanted into our hearts. James said, as we looked at that last week, we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, which means we need to stop talking so much. We need to slow down, we need to be still, and listen to God's Word. We looked at what that meant about becoming angry, and in context, we need to not become bowed up and angry when God begins to speak to us through His Word, challenging us. We don't need to be angry at that. We need to allow the conviction to pour into our hearts as believers, and so that we can repent and we can figure out, you know, how to live more for Christ. We need to discipline ourselves to be in God's Word, not only daily, but we also need to be disciplined to come in as, you know, the body of Christ corporately, to study it, to be a part of Bible studies, to come into this service together ready and excited to be in God's Word. Excited. How many of you guys get excited about being convicted by God's Word? It's like, I'm older, I'm kind of seeing like, okay, and I've said this several times in the last few months, like we got to stop being scared of being convicted because conviction is like how God is like making us more like Him. You know, I'm 49 now. I look back at my 20s, like there's things that I've grown up from and I'm still growing up. Like, do we want to just stay the same the rest of our life, or do we want to grow and mature? And when we look at our walk with Christ, don't we want to become more and more like Him? The only way to do that is for Him to prune us and shape us and say, this is not good. Listen to me. Be in my truth. We need to stop becoming angry when we're convicted and start going, okay, Lord, you love me. You want me to become more like you. And we do that by being in God's Word. And so now James moves in this passage of hearing and doing the word. James moves on in this passage and asks us to consider now the act of doing the word of God. This means that the hearing and the listening of the word must be followed by obedience. Okay? That's the key here. We hear the word of God, but then we act on it. We follow the listening and the meditating and the studying with obedience. Let's look at James chapter 1, 22 through 25 and see what he says here as we study this morning. Starting in verse 22, he says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only." Remember last week, we like, you need to be hearing, you need to be listening. And now he says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. We do come in to it with expectation, anticipation of what you're going to do, how you're going to speak to us this morning. We desire to be excited about that, even if we feel uncomfortable, even if we feel convicted. But Lord, through all that, Lord, we know that you love us. Remind us of how good you are. Remind us of your love for us. Just, Lord, encourage us through your truth this morning. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation in Christ alone. As we've sung these praises to you, we sing these from our hearts to say thank you, Jesus. And thank you for your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. I read an illustration this week about a fictitious business. So kind of imagine with me. Imagine that you are the owner, or you were the owner of a business. You had worked for years to build up a business that was respected, profitable, and well liked in your town. And then one day, something came up in your life and you needed to be gone. You needed to go out of the country. You needed to go out of the state, whatever it was. You needed to be gone for 6 months on a trip. But you trusted your staff. You turned to your manager. You turned to your staff and you said, "I'm going to be gone, but I trust that you're going to keep this business going and it's going to be respected. And I will send you emails weekly with specific instructions in keeping this business strong while I am gone." And you do that. You go away, you send emails, you send them every week. And then after 6 months, you come back. And you drive up to your business that you had built, and you notice that the lawn had not been mowed. You drive into the parking lot, and there's trash blowing everywhere. The trash cans had not been emptied. You walk into the lobby, and the assistant is sitting at the desk, and they are playing games on their computer. Nobody's in the office, but you hear a commotion down the hall, and you go and then you find out your office has been turned into a Fortnite gaming room where all the employees are playing together. And you stop and you say, "What is going on here?" You pull the manager out, you take him down the hall, and you say, "Did you not get my emails, my checklists, my instructions that I sent you every week?" And the manager says, Oh, yes, we did. We got them every week. We received every one of them. We read all of them. We actually would gather on Fridays and read the letters together. And then we would break up into small groups and we would study those emails even deeper. Some of our employees began memorizing your emails. And then you ask them, "But what did you do about them?" And the reply came, nothing. We did nothing about them. But oh, how we studied them. I know this sounds crazy, but this is how many believers treat God's word. We hear it. We come to church. Thank you for being here this morning. We listen. Some of you came to Bible study earlier. You broke up into small groups. We have programs where children memorize Scripture. We try to memorize Scripture. But then we don't have any desire to live out what we are hearing with obedience. And this is why James tells us we have been deceived. We hear, but we're not doing anything. Therefore, we have been deceived. Verse 22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." If we are going to be blessed by God, we are to be quick to listen, we are to be slow, we are to be slow to speak, and we are to become not angry at the truth of God's word, and then we are to accept God's word and be doers of the word. Paul, this is the way Paul taught. When you read his letters to the churches, when he was teaching these new churches as they were springing up around the world and helping them understand what it meant to be a church, be the body of Christ, he would always spend the first half of his letters teaching correct belief, discussing doctrine and saying, this is what it means to have correct and right thinking. This was called orthodoxy. He was like, this is what it means to understand the faith, the truth of God's word. But then he would switch, and the second half of his letters would move into what it meant to practice their faith. That's called orthopraxy. He would teach doctrine, and then he would say, and this is how you live out the doctrine, the belief, the correct belief of the gospel. And James is doing this here in this passage on listening and doing God's word. James calls believers to this in verse 22. And then James goes on to further enforce the importance of this with two examples of a person. Okay, so he's calling us to be, in the beginning of this passage, be quick to hear, listen, meditate, study, hear God's word. And now he moves and says, but don't just be hearers only, you must be doers of the word. And then he gives us this example. Kind of these two examples of a person looking in a mirror. And let's kind of look at that to see what James is talking about. So the first part is this, the incorrect way to look into the mirror. How many of you guys have mirrors in your homes? How many people have mirrors in their homes? Okay. So we like mirrors. We look at ourselves. Look at verses 23 and 24. He begins with this example of a person looking in the mirror. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man. That could be a man or a woman. He is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and then goes away at once forgets what he was like, what he looks like. So James here, he's telling us, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And then he looks at these two examples of a person looking in a mirror. James talks of a hypothetical person looking into a mirror. This person starts off well. He stands in front of the mirror. He looks in the mirror, and the mirror shows that person everything. He can see the details of his face. He can see his nose, he can see the wrinkles, he can see his blemishes. The reflection does not lie to him. In this example that James is giving, what is the mirror that the person is looking into? Does anyone have an idea? Don't be hearers only. What is the person looking into? It's the Word of God. That person is the mirror here in this example. As the person is staring into the mirror, that mirror is God's word. When the person looks into the mirror of God's word, they see two things. You might want to write this down. When you look into God's word, when a Christian, when a believer, when a person comes to God's word and they look into that mirror, when they look into God's word, they see two things. One, they see exactly who they are. Two, they see exactly who God is. These are the two things that are staring back at you when you look into God's word. You see exactly who you are, and you see exactly who God is. We see the holiness of God. We see the goodness of God. We see the mercy of God. We see the justness of God. We see God. But we also see who we are. We see our depravity. We see our sin. We see our complete need for Him. We see our salvation in Him alone. God's word is powerful. It is truth. We see the ugliness of who we are. We see what needs to happen. We see that only in Him can we find forgiveness, and only in Him can we find our sins forgiven, and we can be cleaned up, and we see exactly what we need to live like. God's word is powerful. I really believe, last week we talked about how many of us, we don't open this much during the week. We come here, and when someone tells us to open it, we do, and we look at it, and we glance at it, and then we leave. But we're not very disciplined to be in God's Word or be hearers of God's Word, to listen to God's Word. And I think one reason that many Christians are not in God's Word through the week is because we know how powerful it is. And we know that when we open it up, we're going to see things that need to change. We're going to see who God is. We're going to see who we are. God's word is powerful. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living, it is active, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That is powerful. That is a powerful verse of exactly what God's word is. And when we open God's word, we look into it. We see who God is, we see who we are. And this is what happens. And this is what is going on in this situation, this hypothetical example of a person looking into the mirror when they're looking into it. God's word reveals our need for him. But there is a danger in just looking into God's word. It's like, oh yeah, okay. Wait a second, Chris. You're saying how important it is to be hearers of the word, to be listening to the word, to be abiding in the word, to be coming to Bible studies, to be excited about coming to corporate worship and studying God's word, to be daily abiding in him. What are you talking about? There's a danger in just looking into God's word. Here's the danger. We must, yes, be in God's word, but the danger is this. If all we are doing is only listening and we are not allowing it to affect our life, that's the danger. If all we're doing is studying it, oh, we listened to the emails, we studied them, we broke up into small groups, and we discussed deeply the emails, we memorized it, and then we did nothing. The danger that James is talking about is we must be hearers and doers. If we are studying God's word and not allowing it to affect our actions, our practice, the way we treat people, the way we talk, our thoughts, the way we work, play, etc., if that's all we're doing, we have missed something very important. We are not following our listening with obedience. When I went back to school, when I went back to seminary several years ago, and I did it kind of part-time, it took about 6 years to go through that process. And in those 6 years, I was very saturated with reading and studying. It was just all-consuming. Every extra second I had, I was reading a book, I was studying, I was writing papers, I was preparing for in-class discussions. And I remember very clearly, in the midst of all that, one of my seminary professors, he warned us as pastors. He said, you need to be careful that you do not spend every day in your office studying. And that just hit me. I was like, yeah. He says, you don't need to be, as a pastor, spending every day in your office studying and listening to podcasts and reading and all these things. You need to make sure that you are out doing the word of God. You need to be the hands and feet of Christ. Beautiful are the feet that go and share the good news. Should we study? Absolutely. We need to study. We need to be in God's word daily. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to come and spend time talking with each other and grappling with the truth of God's word. But then we must go out, go and make disciples, be the hands and feet of Jesus to our neighbors. Speak the truth of the gospel. Let it shine through our hearts and our minds and the way we talk. Let people see the good news through our lives. I've mentioned many times, and I struggle as a pastor in this circle. I struggle so many times when friends and acquaintances I know, I always kind of laugh at it. And this is nothing against Pat, but it's like these guys that are in their coffee shops with the big long beards and they're just like, let's talk theology. I just can't get enough of theology. Have you heard what John Piper said here? I love Calvin and this and that. And they talk and they talk and they grapple. And then they go out and they smoke cigars because they read Spurgeon, smoke cigars. They're like, let's do this. There's nothing wrong with talking to theology. There's nothing wrong with reading deep books about theology. That's good. But I question sometimes how often they get out of their dark theology caves to be with people who need Jesus. We've got to do both. We've got to be out in sharing the love of Jesus with people, doing the word of God. James says, yes, be quick to hear God's word, but then he goes on to say, but do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. That's a big statement, isn't it? Do not just listen to the word and deceive yourselves. He's like, there's two parts of this. This man looks in the mirror of God's word. He sees himself. He sees the sin that needs to be repented of. He sees the beauty of the holiness of God. And then he turns and walks away with no action, no obedience, no practical life change. He walks away, and then James says he forgets what he even looked like. Basically, he just forgets what he just saw. He looked intently in the mirror. He saw God. He saw himself. And it's as if he turned away and just completely forgot of it, if he's not doing anything. James told us in the verses preceding these to receive the word with meekness, with humility, the implanted word. The person who reads God's word, hears it, but then has no change take place in their life, has not truly received the word. Listen to this statement carefully. We must be careful in simply just accumulating knowledge, even theological, even religious knowledge. Knowledge for the sake of knowledge, because this often leads to pride. Help us never to think that's just enough. Those that just accumulate theological knowledge, many of those people are very prideful, and they think they've got it all together. They think they're so intelligent. They're so smart. Help us never. James says, receive the word with humility, meekness. Help us never think knowledge for the sake of knowledge, even if it's theological knowledge, is enough. We come to God's word in a poverty of spirit. We come knowing of salvation that is only through him. We come knowing that he will convict us of things in our life so we can be more like him. And then we go and we turn and we say, Lord, help me to live this out. Help me to love people. Help my speech to be different. Help me to stop gossiping. Help me to think about things that I'm saying. Help me to look for ways to love people and to help and to share the gospel. Let us be doers of the word of God. So James gives us this incorrect way to look into God's word. Now he changes and he gives us the right way to look into the mirror of God's word. Look at verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty or freedom, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. And then at the end he says, he will be blessed in his doing. This verse 25, this is our example for the believer. This is the correct way to look into God's word. This person is the example of the kind of listener that God wants his children to be. This is the person who looks intently into the perfect law. They look and they study, they read, they abide, they join together. Yes, they break up into groups or they meet with a discipleship partner and they discuss God's word. They daily are listening and coming to God's word with humility and receiving the implanted word of God. They look at the perfect law, the perfect truth, which encompasses the Old Testament and the New Testament. We know that because we just read that in the Sermon on the Mount. When we went through that, Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We heard Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. He's called us to a righteousness that far exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. We then, as a church, went back to the Old Testament and looked at God's commands. The correct way to listen is to look intently at all of God's perfect truth. And then James says, when we do that, that perfect truth will lead us to freedom. It will, the God's word, the truth will set us free. When we listen and abide, when we are looking in the mirror of God's word again, we see ourself. We gaze upon who God is. We see the holiness and goodness of God, and we see our deep need for salvation. And the true listener never gets over this need, never gets over this understanding of who they are, never gets over their thankfulness for salvation. It brings us to our knees in a poverty of spirit. We echo Paul's heart in Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, which he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." This is how we approach. We look into God's word with humility. And then all of this looking and listening and seeing leads to the culmination of James's call and charge to believers, which is this: biblical knowledge, true biblical understanding in the believer's life demands action. True understanding, looking into the mirror of God's word, looking into the truth of God's word, demands obedience. True abiding in God's word, hearing and listening to God's word, will always lead to the doing of God's word. Not just looking in the mirror of God's word and then turning and forgetting what we saw, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. And here's the good news, the encouraging news. The more that we gaze and abide and then do and act, the more we grow. The more we see, the more we learn, the more we mature. You see, I think we've got it backwards sometimes. This is a feather ruffler statement, okay? We have it backwards sometimes because we come here expecting this to, I don't want to say the word entertain, but to bring feelings. Does that make sense? I'm not saying there's not feelings in worship. We worship in spirit and truth, okay? True worship will always bring joy and feelings. But I think sometimes we go our whole week dry, walking through the desert, not abiding, not listening, not studying, and then we're like, oh, it's time to go to church. I hope they make me feel closer to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? We're expecting a group of people to like help us feel close to the Lord again. And we've come in completely dry. We haven't been abiding. We haven't been acting. We haven't been living out our faith. And that's when we get upset, right? If we walk out of here without a certain feeling, without a certain song that made us feel right, or without something that just really made me, that's when we walk out, we're like, maybe we should look for another church. Let's go to somewhere that makes me feel good. Let's go somewhere, and sometimes that's just because it's new, because it's a different person talking to you, a different band singing to you, a different, class that you went to. We're like, I'm feeling something now. Church hoppers, church shoppers, they run in a cycle a lot of times. It's like, well, we've been here for 3 years, time to go. We've been here for it's time to go. Let's go to another place. Oh, it's new again. And I'm not saying that God doesn't lead us to different churches sometimes. I'm not saying that. That's not that sermon. You guys know my heart, right? I'm trying to help us see that we are close to God when we are living for Him, when we're listening to Him, when we're abiding Him in Him daily. And then we get to come here and gather with the body of Christ, like, yay, praise the Lord. Yes, we can study, we can grow, but let's go out and share the good news of the gospel. James is saying we must not just be hearers only, but we've got to be doers. We've got to have action. And here's the thing, the more that we gaze into the truth of God's word, and then the more that we act on it, the more that we obey it, the more that we live it out, the more we're going to grow, the more we're going to mature, the more we're going to be closer to Him. And so I'm going to continue to say this. If you are dry, if you have come into this place and you say, I feel so far away from the Lord, or if you say the statement a lot of times, I just wish I could feel like I did when I first followed Christ, or I wish I felt like I did when I was a teenager and I was so fired up for Jesus, I would say stop and then look at the way you live in your life. Stop and say, how many times am I studying God's word? How many times am I reading God's word? How many times am I living out the faith that I believe in? Because a lot of times that is the connection. A lot of times you're dry because you've completely separated yourself from the vine. The more we gaze, the more we abide, the more we act, the more we live out our faith, the more we become doers of the Lord, the more we grow, the more we mature, the more we learn. It's like the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, 28, and 29. When Jesus was telling this story, he says, "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." The more that we do, the more that we look into the mirror of God and listen and then do, the more he gives us to do, the more we grow in him. One pastor put it this way. He said, "For our soul's health, we must apply what we hear. For our soul's health, we must do what the word says." Okay, so here we go. Here's some more encouragement. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe there have been many times in your life where you have come away from a Bible study or a sermon or a daily quiet time knowing you needed to do something. You needed to act, to change something, and then you didn't. Raise your hand if that's ever been you. I like to raise hands because we're like, oh yeah, we're all in this together. And none of us are perfect, right? We're all struggling with this. How many of us have come in and we've like, I know the Lord is telling me to do something. And then we just didn't do anything. Here's my encouragement. Just do something. Just do something. God speaks to you, just do something, even if it's small. Just do something, and what the Bible says is the more you do, the more you grow, the more you abide, the more you act, he then will grow you. Just do something and let God grow you and mature you. Maybe you feel a call to missions. Maybe at some point in your life, whether you're a teenager or even a young adult or even today, and you're like, I just feel a call to missions, and you feel so overwhelmed, just do something. It might not mean you need to quit your job and then move overseas. It might not ever mean that. But just do something. Help out with Bible school. Help out with our outreach to Village Oaks. Look for opportunities to minister in your neighborhood. Go on. Sign up for a week-long mission trip. Save up your money for a year and go on a mission trip. Don't walk away from the mirror and then forget what you saw. Just do something. Be a doer of the word. Just do something, even if it feels small, because God's going to use it, and he's going to continue to grow you as you live it out. He's going to guide you. Maybe you came out of a quiet time with someone so heavy on your heart. Maybe they're lost, and you're like, I don't know what to say to them. I don't know how to lead them to the Lord. I don't know how to be an evangelistic coworker. I don't know what to do. And so many of us just walk away, and we forget it, right? Just do something. Maybe you just send them a text that says, "You are on my heart today. I am praying for you." And just see what God does. Do you think God's a pretty big God? Think he can work miracles? Absolutely. Being doers of his word is health for your soul. It is an important key to your happiness. Look at that very last part of verse 25. Basically, he who is a doer of the word will be blessed in his doing. How many of you guys have ever been blessed by acting on what God told you to do, by living out your faith? Don't you feel blessed when you do that? Do you want to feel that blessing? Do you want to feel joy and happiness? Do you want to come out of that desert of just walking so aimlessly, I don't feel anything, I don't feel close to the Lord? Then listen to the word of God. Look into the word of truth. Be in it. Abide in him. Be connected to the vine. And then do something. Act. Live out your faith. And you will find happiness. Lord, we received your letters. We received your words. We started getting together as groups. We started studying them, talking about them. We broke up into smaller groups and studied even deeper. Some of us have even began memorizing your letters. And then we hear the Lord's voice say, "Okay, but what did you do about them?" Let's pray. God, thank you for your truth. So challenging, but so exciting, so encouraging that we can grow in you by listening and then doing. Looking into the mirror, the truth of God's word, seeing you and seeing ourselves. Hearing and then living. Living out our faith. Doing the word of God. Practicing your truth. Obeying what you say. And then you promise us that if we do that, we will be happy. We will find happiness. We will find joy. Let us not be hearers only. Let us not be so enamored by just accumulating knowledge. And let that be it. Because when we do that, we deceive ourselves. But we must be doers of your word. Let us be a church that studies your word, but then goes out and shares the love of Christ. Not always just as one big group, but in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, with our friends, with our families. And then as a church, let us be a light, having action, sharing the gospel. I pray that that would take place these next three days. As we have Bible school, I pray that you would draw some children to that time. I pray that you would help us build relationships with parents and some of the people in that place that you've called us to. And I pray that you would save lives. And I pray that we would go into our neighborhoods, that we would go into our places, and we would stop being just so overwhelmed when you say do something, that we would just do something, even if we feel like it's small, and then watch you do miracles. As you use us, we get the privilege of being your hands and feet. I pray for anyone here that is hearing this truth. They are looking into your word, and they are seeing this idea of freedom found from your word and your truth, joy. And I pray if they are feeling the call to salvation, that you would give them that faith, that you would, as you call them, that they would respond in faith and find salvation in you. We give you all the glory. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.